Dalhousie University professor with over 30 years of social work experience explained his mixed feelings regarding a Halifax Council staff report, which endorses designating certain outdoor areas for sheltering. The 24-page report said that people experiencing homelessness would be able to shelter in 16 spaces, most of which are parks. However, only 5 of them allow overnight stays, while the other 11 are designated for temporary sheltering from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Dr. Jeff Carabano says the new report is giving him mixed feelings.
For us to kind of be exploring the best ways for people to sleep outside, I have mixed feelings around, because I get it that affordable housing is very difficult these days, but we've been advocating for years and years, and there's some models out there around using, you know, old buildings, using places that used to house employees for companies that are now sitting empty, that we could be really kind of pivoting to getting folks into some form of supportive, sustained living arrangement, as opposed to figuring out what's the best park that people can set up tents.
Carabino explained what he believes might serve as a better and more effective solution.
There are lots of available, you know, spaces that are empty right now that really we could pivot to develop into some form of housing. That, to me, would be a better option than figuring out what park is best to set up a tent.
He discusses what he believes are better interim styles of support that are more dignified.
If we're thinking about, you know, scripting new bylaws to let people sleep outside, why don't we find interim styles of support rather than that? Because, you know, it's still cold in the summer. You know, it's not a dignified way to support people who are really suffering right now.
To get a better understanding of the misconceptions regarding homelessness, we ask why the topic of homelessness generates some debate and confusion.
I think there's a variety of emotions that I think surface when somebody walks by someone who's homeless. One is, you know, a sense of empathy and sadness to the fact that these folks don't have the same supports and resources that others do. I think there's a bit of fear of the unknown, fear of, you know, particular possible violent interaction. I also think there's a lot of uncomfortableness because we feel a little bit of shame around the fact that some people are suffering while others aren't. So it's easier to kind of distract ourselves with sometimes stereotyping populations as the other that aren't worthy or don't deserve particular supports. I think over the past few years, there's been a deeper understanding of some of the systemic and structural barriers. And I think once you start to explore those dynamics, deeper empathy and deeper kind of advocacy emerge.
Carabino explained that there are systemic and structural barriers in place that make it difficult for people to afford homes.
So structural elements like poverty. A lot of these folks have had such harsh treatments in the child welfare systems. We know income assistance that a lot of folks are on just cannot support people financially. There's systemic barriers, race, gender dynamics, sexual orientation. You know, when we realize that, you know, over 40% of the population come from African Nova Scotian indigenous communities, while they represent only, you know, 1% of our entire Nova Scotian population, we know there's an issue there.
And in your experience, since you've been in this for 33 years, where were we? Where are we going? So I want you to just tell me, over your 30 years, do you think we're getting worse? Are we doing better? What is the trajectory, I guess, for the next decade or so?
That's a really good question. I think in terms of intervention on the micro level, I think we're getting better. There used to be this idea that in the literature, it's called treatment first approach, where you had to get fixed before you could get any type of housing. And homelessness is an issue of housing on a very basic level. We've moved, I think, in globally now to accept the dynamic that we are exploring homelessness through a housing first and a trauma-informed lens, where, like I said earlier, you create a foundation, a stability, and then you can work on all the other dynamics at play here. And that makes a lot of sense. So I think we moved in that way. So I think we're much more compassion-focused in our interventions. There's been a lot more resources set up. There's more shelters. There's more Band-Aid approaches that are, I think, important for crises. And we have, in Nova Scotia, for the first time in a while that I remember, we have all levels of government that are speaking together and talking about different initiatives and approaches to attempt to reduce the number of people on the streets.
Sarah Gouda, CKDU.